Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. It's your host, Chris here, and we got Ro. This time, Brandon's not here. I can't even lie. Brandon goes to everything, so I can't even get him back for like when he lies about me not going to black films. So only thing I can say, he didn't go to the last black film. He didn't go to the Intruder.
Now, y'all both left me all by my damn self.
Well, no, technically, we didn't leave you. We never got one, so there's that. And I'm not paying for that shit, so... I ain't paying for that shit. You ain't getting me that way. So, but no, we're here. Ro and I are here to review Ugly Dolls, an animated adventure in which the free-spirited Ugly Dolls confront what means to be different, struggle with the desires to be loved, and ultimately discover who you truly are is what makes what matters the most. It's directed by Kelly Asbury, and it has stars Kelly Clarkson, who else? Pitbull, Ice-T. Blake Shelton, Wanda Sykes. Listen, I'm just going to go and do this right now.
Janelle Monáe.
Like, who was she playing? Who was she in this? She was, wait, who was Janelle in this?
What?
She's the lead character? No. Oh, I know.
Yes, Janelle Monáe is the lead character. You're fired as a person.
No, I'm looking at the names. She's not in the, whatchamacallit. I knew she was in this, but I'm like, in IMDb, she's not even on the first page.
I don't know Mandy. Why she's not on the first page. She's the main character.
She's all the way down here. She's Mandy. That's why I was like, wait, Moxie's not the main character? Yeah, it goes, they have Pitbull. This is weird.
Janelle Monáe, she's like, her character's on the poster too.
Yeah. That's weird. That's weird.
What is really happening here? You're right. She's not.
Yeah, I was like,
she's not. Oh my God, you're right. They don't have her. Okay, look, y'all. Janelle Monáe is in this movie. She sings in this movie and everything.
So let me say this about this film. I think this film has a good message for kids overall. But there's a lot of goddamn singing in this fucking film.
It's a musical! What the hell did you expect? And Janelle Monáe plays Mandy, by the way.
Yeah, Mandy. Yeah, Moxie is the lead character. Mandy is the pretty doll with the glasses, right? Or do I have that backwards?
No, Mandy is the pretty brown girl doll with the glasses.
That's what I thought.
Glasses.
Okay, cool. No, Well, I didn't know it was a musical. Like nothing in the trailers make you know that this film was a musical. And I'm sorry, like I wasn't prepared. I need to be prepared for a film. Like the film opens up with song, and I'm like, oh God damn it! They tricked me into seeing a goddamn musical.
Yeah, there's no ifs, no ands, no buts about this. This is an animated musical. And if the list of these names doesn't tell you this is an animated musical, nothing will. Kelly Clarkson, Nick Jonas, Janelle Monáe, Blake Shelton, and Pitbull.
But that doesn't mean normally that this is going to be a musical. They've had singers in as voice actors before in an animated film, and it not been like this is like a Disney musical film. Like everything is song. Like the main
pacing for this is Broadway. Yes,
the main.
This is
the
a
main,
musical.
And I think that's what goes to the score of it on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I don't think anybody was really prepared for it to be a musical because the trailers don't promote it as such. And because the trailers don't promote it as such, I'm sorry. I have to be prepared to watch a musical. I have to be in the mood to watch a musical because this film just does a lot of singing. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's get with the story. Then we start with the story and then it's another song. There's another song.
And then you realize that you really do have, you're right, Chris, you're right. Because the story is the song. The song's in the stories. Like, it's not like they just made it and then they give them an opportunity to burst out in song. Like the message is in the story. The point of what she wants is in the song. You know, her feelings are in the song. The forward movement from act one to act two is a damn song. So you are correct. You have to absolutely be in the mood for a musical. To see this movie,
the character developments in the film, like there's something with Mandy, that you get in song, and if like, so I didn't miss it
there. You don't get it anywhere else.
Exactly, and it's like I didn't hate this film. I'm not a musical person. I don't do musicals. I try to avoid musicals. Like I have to be prepared or know. Like I did. I enjoyed Mary Poppins, but I knew going in this. There's gonna be songs. I was prepared for that, and I went into this. I wasn't prepared with that with this film, and so after I got over my disgust of God damn it, I sat in 2 hours of traffic for a goddamn musical. I wouldn't have done that if I knew that. After I got over that, sitting there and forcing myself to actually listen to the songs and the music, I'm like, there's actually a good message here. I'm not sure anybody heard.
I was in a movie theater full of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not a lack of engagement in the movie. I don't know if the super young kids saw anything other than the cute plushy dolls getting jacked up and moved around. So there was enough visual stuff going on for like the younger audience fare, or people who came into this because they liked these ugly dolls and they wanted to see what was going on with their ugly doll. But this is a very mature theme movie. Like from the get-go, you're talking about rejection, perfection, acceptance, you know. So just the basic themes going into this, you already know this is slightly mature. I will say that this does a much better job of handling its themes and keeping it on the age like visual level than Wonder Park, because that dumpster fire, what the hell kind of tragic bullshit you got me watching about death. This movie doesn't jump the shark in that kind of way. I thought it was adorable. I thought it was cute. I don't think it was as free-spirited as it could have been. And I believe that's because most of the story development and the character development were both in the songs. So it made the moments outside of the songs not play as well, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It's empty out. The only thing this film has, I don't want to say only thing it has, but the songs are, and that's why I said I'm not sure if it connected with my, like, that, and that's why I was glad hearing that you had a theater for kids that engaged. I had kids in my theater, and I don't know if they engaged as much. And so, I think it's because of the songs. Like,
yeah, the kids in my theater, I will say this, they were slightly older.
I can believe that then, because the songs are important to the character development in the story. And they have catchy tunes because they're catchy, but they're not going to be songs that kids sing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a Frozen.
Maybe one or two.
Like maybe one or two of them, but the ugly song. Like, I don't know if, like, there's an important, like, it's very, it informs one of the characters of who they are. But again, I don't know if that's going to be a song that takes off. I know it's not. It's not going to be a song that takes off and gets people singing. And it's just, but it's important to the story. And so much of the film is like that. And I just, it feels empty outside of the songs.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I thought the songs, for doing what they were supposed to be doing, did a great job. I mean, everybody sounded good. I don't really understand.
Absolutely.
Like, I now want Kelly Clarkson and Janelle Monáe to do something together. That's how I like their voices, because the descants they did for the altos and sopranos. But because it felt like they... Okay, what's the Lego movie, the most recent one?
Yeah. Lego movie too.
And yeah, the whole movie, this whole sequence they had where the crazy comedian, what is her name?
Oh, Tiffany Haddish.
Haddish, where she's singing, and they never pull out, like, the song fits perfectly in the scene that she's in, but it engages with the scene. Like, they don't pull it out and have like this, you know, video song moment. And this movie does that. And I think because they made it feel like everything was like a feature moment, it pulled it away from the story in such a way that you didn't naturally take those messages out of the song into the next scene where there was like talking and moving and action. And that bit of disconnect, I think that's where they're going to lose some of the younger kids. I think it's where they're going to lose some of the slightly older but mature kids, and that's where they're going to catch the adults, because that's when I noticed where adults were laughing. So Wanda Sykes' character, I think some of the jokes and the moments she had were a little too mature for the what they say is the audience demographic. They were funny. So if you're an adult taking your kids to see this movie, you're not going to completely want to shoot yourself in the face. But as a whole film, I don't think it completely gelled as a whole film. I liked it. I thought it was sad as hell, and I didn't know where they were going. I'm like, how do you redeem this message? This is jacked up. I was like you were saying, there's literally a whole song called "You're Ugly."
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening? Why am I watching? I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This is terrible.
When you start, when you start listening to the lyrics and actually paying attention, you're like, this is kind of fucking dark and serious. But going back to what you said before, it's like, the thing about them when they sing, it pulls it out. You know what it is? It reminds something you said before, that this is, they play it like it's for Broadway. It reminds me of when there's that when song breaks out in the middle of a play and they darken all the other scenes and they just focus on the person singing. That's what it does. And I'm like, it messes up the flow of the movie. So if it only did that like once or twice, it'd be fine. But it's every fucking song, and so when you do that, it makes me. And I remember when I walked out, I told the rep, I was like, you know, it's fine, but man, it's a lot of songs. And as I was like, driving home, I was thinking about it, and I'm going, now was it a lot of songs, or was it the way they did the songs that made it feel like there was more than they are? Because I started thinking about it, I was like, well, I watch a lot of the Despicable Me movies, and they sing all the time in there. And I don't have a problem with their singing, there's music, there's dancing. I don't have a problem with those. Why did I have a problem with this one? And I'm like, because it feels like that's all they focus on. And that
there were too many broken pieces. Like, they have a solid foundation for a story, and that story works. They have a solid foundation for musical moments, and they have the vocal talent to back them up. And those work. I mean, like, Kelly Clarkson's personality for Moxie was perfect. Blake Shelton was perfect as Mayor Ox. Wanda Sykes was perfect. Pitbull was just weird, but perfect as that little swaggering one-eyed blue dog that people, like, I bought one for someone and they love it. So he works. But like you were saying, there's a complete disconnect at too many different parts of this movie, which I think is going to make this movie not as much of the big event as it could be. Like, if they had done this movie more along the lines of how they did Sing. Did you see that one?
Which one?
Sing?
No.
About the talent competition with Tori Kelly singing in it?
No. I avoid musicals.
Okay, well, you might actually have liked that one just because, you know, it was cute. But the way that they did that in that one is it more was along the lines of how they had the songs blended in when they break into song in Despicable Me, or, you know, it kind of had more of that Animaniacs, you know, blend in, dun-dun-dun-dun, but they didn't pull you out of the scene. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you missed a moment that was like a really touching moment because it happened while they were singing, it could completely mess up your understanding of what's happening during the talking parts of this movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to undermine. It's a solid, cute little movie, and it's got a great message, and I think it wrapped up nicely. I think it went places that I didn't expect, and I liked some of the sub character development and the plots, and this whole idea of perfection versus rejection for lack of perfection, and learning to accept yourself versus, you know, allowing someone to judge you and then your life being bound based on that judgment. I thought all of those were great. And I thought I love the fact that, like, the kids behind me were like, I love ugly dolls. He stood up and was a little boy and he walked out humming a song. And so I think in that respect, when it hits, it's going to hit. But when it misses, it's going to absolutely miss across the board. Like, there's not going to be, they're going to be either, they're like, there's not going to be any middle ground.
Well, I'm glad that you had, and maybe it's because I rushed out, like, as soon as the credits hit, I was out. So I didn't get a really good, maybe the kids were just so engaged in it, they weren't engaging with the film as it was on. But it does sound, it's good that you had theater. You can actually see how kids reacted to this. Because for me, it just feels like there is a really good story here that actually is told, and the film is not bad. Like, I think right now it's like 31% of Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, there's no way. Like, that's way too low for this film. Like, even me not liking musicals go, this film has a good message. I wish it was constructed better, because
how much are we knocking it for bad construction is the question.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like I think people are knocking it too much for the bad construction because it's not. It's not that bad. Like when you look at I normally don't go. I only went to this because you said you were going and you had already had another review that you're doing solo. So I was like, let me go so Ro doesn't have to be the only one explaining playing a movie. Because I normally
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Well, I normally don't go to kids films, and I normally don't go to kids films for because to me. Reviewing kids' films is kind of pointless. Because if it plays for kids, it don't fucking matter what the review... Kids don't give a fuck about a Rotten Tomatoes score, all right? So, to me, reviewing kids' films just doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't. Because I had somebody hit me up today because we were joking about that terrible-looking Sonic the Hedgehog film... And somebody hit me up was going like, yeah, but my kid's now a really big Sonic the Hedgehog person, so I'm probably going to have to see that movie like 3 fucking times. And I was just like, my condolences. But you got to do that. Like, some of those kids like those fucking Smurf movies that are god-awful. So to me, reviewing these films, it doesn't matter. And I feel like sometimes critics come in almost too hard. Like, yes, the way they did the songs kind of pulls you out of the story. Yes, they could have constructed a little bit better. But overall, the message of this film and the way it's presented and the talent that they have there, it's good enough. Like it's like to me my baseline for an animated film is usually like a 7. Like you got to be pretty fucking terrible for me not to give you a 7. And that's where this film. No, you like, seriously. And this film, by the time it was over, and I do not like musicals. And as soon as they started, as soon as it opens up a song, I'm like, God damn it! Are you serious? Am I going to sit through an hour and 20 minutes, hour 30 minutes of this shit? God damn! When I ended it, I was like, I still hate musicals, but that was surprisingly good. It had a surprisingly good message, and I think it's one that's important for kids to have about not letting others dictate who you are and what makes you. Good and ugly and all and kind of challenging all that stuff, like it's fine. It works. It does what it's supposed to go out there and do. And as long again, I didn't have that feedback from kids in my theater like that because you know they just were. I don't know. Maybe they were all tired like I was. But hearing that the kids came out humming a song and wanted ugly dolls, I'm like, well, you know what? It did its job.
Lot of people went into this movie owning Ugly Dolls, and I think people are underestimating the fact that people are coming to this movie sometime to see their plushie talk. And, you know, so I know people who own these plushies, and I like the little Moxie one. I was like, what's wrong with her teeth? I got a gap. I like it. Let's do it.
Well, that moment in the film is actually worth it.
Yes.
Yeah. There's things that play in this film that when I I'm very shocked by. The critic scores on this one because, again,
not critics are assholes.
Yeah, assholes. Yeah, you're right.
A lot of us are assholes. Look, I see a lot of kids' movies. A lot part of it is because I like animated movies and I like musicals. And whether you believe it or not, I mean, if you ever have to go to an emergency room with me and they give me pain medications, I guarantee you are going to get treated to some type of musical medley because that is apparently my default. The last time I was in there, I did a medley of like 7 Wives and 7 Brothers, Rent, and then theme songs, because apparently I know all the verses to MASH when I'm on Dilaudid. So I really like musicals. So I do tend to have a higher baseline for just evaluating a film. And there have been some really good musical movies and animated movies in the last couple of years that do make it difficult to take a movie that has disconnects, that doesn't all the way work, that the animation that they chose for the movie action and the movie forward and the storyboarding doesn't all mesh together. And you're not really, and you have moments where you're not too sure how they, that you're sure they weren't sure how to make a song fit in the storyline, but they knew they wanted to have it in there. So they did that feature Broadway, you know, darken the stage and feature the people singing moment. And they tried too many different techniques from too many different types of animated musical feature films. That is what I truly feel is the detriment to this movie. They tried too many different techniques. They didn't stick to one and then go with it forward through the storytelling. Yeah. So for me, yeah, my bar for a musical isn't necessarily an animated movie isn't necessarily that different from how I evaluate rest of movies that I watch. But just like I have a different criteria when I go into a superhero movie or a movie that I think is going to be a popcorn movie or a movie that I think is deliberately kind of aiming for a particular type of movie going experience, like we just talked about on The Intruder, I have a criteria for it. And this movie checks a lot of the boxes. It's got a good message. It's got good songs. It's got good voice acting with peppy personalities that fit. It's got a villain that works.
Yeah.
It's got a story world that goes around. So, but it doesn't know what kind of kids movie it wants to be. It doesn't know exactly what age range it's aiming for.
And that's a good point. I have no idea what the age range on this film is.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure.
Like
how to tell someone to take their kid to see this movie, or I don't know if they'll sit through this movie, but they might like it if you have it at home, kind of thing. That is where I start getting stuck. You know what I mean?
Visually, I'm like, oh yeah, it's good for young kids, but message wise, I'm like, young kids wouldn't get the message.
Right, and that's why I'm unsure. Because some of them will. Some of them are far more mature than we are. Like, I've had children break down what the messages they got from Frozen were, and the ones that were the most deeply psychologically moving to me came from a damn 4-year-old. Like, A Wrinkle in Time was not made for adults, and I saw the movie, and I went back and I saw it again, and this young Black girl came out, and her breakdown of that movie made me have to sit back and remind myself that Ava did not make a movie for an adult who liked Wrinkle in Time. She made Wrinkle in Time for children who exist now, and the choices that she made were based on those things. And that girl was so in love with that movie when she walked away from it that it made me have to rethink what was the point of that movie. And who was she talking to when she made it? And that became kind of the question that I have when I try to render a verdict about an animated movie that's directed at children. So,
yeah,
the point of Ugly Dogs is amazing. I think, like, to a certain extent, obviously, you know, it's kind of plagiarism across just basic themes, but that's what you get when you're doing a feel-good kids movie. But where they were aiming it is where they are off. And that's why I can't give them that highest score, because it's very difficult for me to be able to tell someone, I think your kid will like this movie. And if I know the kid, I should be able to gauge it if I watch as much of these as they do. Mm-hmm. And I watch them with your kid. Mm-hmm. So that's where it falls for me, where I say I can't give it that highest score. I thought it's got great songs, but the marketing strategy was mediocre. And I think the marketing strategy was mediocre because the storyboarding for this movie was slightly mediocre, which is sad because in pieces it works great.
Well, and also,
and it is great.
And let me just say this. Having this film come out the week after Endgame is not a good strategy.
Nothing should look okay. No, I don't really understand. Remember how people moved their movie
from Infinity
other
War?
Times?
Yeah.
From Infinity War.
I don't think they could do it this time. Because honestly, honestly, you can't. There is no good time. You either do it way before, you either weeks before. There's no good time. There's about to be a murder's row of films after this. Because after Endgame, you got John Wick 3, Aladdin, Godzilla. I hate to say this. Dark Phoenix will do some kind of numbers. Then you go into another Marvel movie with Spider-Man. Like,
You have the adult musical movie that you don't go to that I probably will go to. Rocket Man's coming out,
Rocket Man. You have a Lion King. Yeah, Lion King in July.
The Sun Also Rises is coming out. Yeah. I mean, the people who like Dirty Rotten Scandals will probably go see The Hustle. I see what you're saying. Now that I think about all this, you don't really have a choice.
But honestly, I think this film does better in the fall. If you put this film out in November, I think this film or October, I think this film does a lot better financially than it's going to do, because again, I'm with you. Like, I don't think this film knows what audience it's aiming at for this, because it doesn't do the job of, say, like a Despicable Me, where Despicable Me is, and you know what age group is aimed for because they have different things for different people, right? You have the Minions that are clearly there for the young kids who don't get any of the other stuff. And the older you get, you have characters that kind of fit into that category, and then you got Gru who does things and the things around Gru that deal with the adults and the things. So you get something for everybody across the age group.
And here, then you've got the themes of places where they put the Minions, and that then turn around and wrap all the adults into the Minions too.
Exactly. this film doesn't do that. And so, like, as an adult, I'm watching this going, okay, this has a good thing, this has a good thing. And I'm looking around, as a critic, I'm like going, yeah, but is anybody getting this? Did anybody, like, there are some things that happen that you hear that the other adults, there's a scene that happens in this film where the adults kind of go, and they start chuckling and kind of get it, but...
And not a single kid does?
And not a single kid does, and I'm just like,
yeah,
you can't do that. Like, I don't want to say that's a bad movie or that it's not enjoyable for me, but I'm like, that's the part where you failed as this animated
the
film.
Children.
Yeah,
you failed the children.
And you can never fail the children. Like, you can bring the adults in and keep the adults engaged, but you can never go too far where only the adults are getting the point. Like, when that happens, you've missed your purpose as a film. And I feel like, and it's so sad to say this because I really think that the message of this film is good. But it's not going to work. I don't think it's going to latch on like it should.
No, because it should have been cohesively cute.
Yes.
And it's not. And because it's not, I don't even know if you can put this movie in the safe mode, because if you get a kid who only gets half the message, you've got a kid who's walking out of there fucked up thinking about they need to be perfect.
You know? I didn't think about that, but you're right. If they didn't get the right, because there's particularly the first song that Janelle Monáe's character Mandy does. They spend so much time on this song, and I'm listening to the song going like, I don't know if that's a good message for the kids. And then right when the song's over, she kind of
like,
flips it. And I'm like, oh wow, that's actually pretty good. That's not bad. And I'm like, wait a minute, are any of the kids gonna get that? Are there any of the kids?
More of the kids will get it than the adults, but that's true. The problem.
Yeah. I mean,
because this is a movie that you have to talk to your kids after. Like, if your kid is at that particular age where they might be going to school or they could get bullied or they're going through puberty and suddenly their face has acne or they've gained weight or you're one of those asshole parents who harps on what your kids look like or, you know, they see you always worrying about what you look like before you go somewhere. This movie is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think I was sitting next to a 9 and a 10 year old on one side of me. I think I was sitting in front of a 7 and an 8 year old, and I was definitely sitting behind a 6 year old. And the 6 year old was all in when everything was bright and shiny and it was moving around and there was action and it was absolutely certain that he had no idea what the dialogue meant. And he was just looking at it. It was pretty. The girl to my right, who I think she looked like she was maybe 9. She did not look away from this screen once. And like her head is nodding a little when certain songs are coming on. She's going, oh, uh-oh, dang it, at the right moments. But she did not disengage with this movie. Now the kid behind me engaged and clocked out. The boy sitting next to him was all in with this movie. So now the one little bastard to the left of me I know for a fact that he connected most with the villain in this movie, and that his parents should be fucking concerned. But this is the kind of movie that you need to talk to your kids about. Because you need to make sure that they're connecting with all of the different pieces in this movie, or ask them what they got from this movie. And a lot of parents don't, that's not what they're taking their kids for. They want their kids to be entertained. They want them to have some fun. They don't want a movie that is more than a feel good movie. So when you have a feel good movie, when you have a message movie that doesn't live up to the feel good movie part, that's a problem. And this movie is unbalanced like that. So, as much as I enjoyed parts of it and I thought it was cute, as an adult watching it, I got everything and I thought it was cute and the message and the songs were good and they were really pretty and some of them were even catchy. But as an adult thinking about a movie that I'm taking a kid to, this isn't one where I can just load everybody up into the car and go to the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Not unless I'm ready to sit down and have a conversation with them later.
Right. So what would you give this film?
This would be easier if we had a 5 out of scale, and then I could just say it's like a 2.5 out of 5. But it hits the halfway mark, so I guess a 5 out of 10.
Hmm.
But I feel like that's being really harsh on a kid's movie.
Yeah, I'm going to say it my 7, but with the caveat that, like you said, if you take your kid to this movie, you need to talk to them afterwards. If you honestly are just going to this film because your kid saw the is like interested and want to go see it, and you're just gonna check out and let them watch it, and that's gonna be it, then I think it is a 5, because you could end up having a kid with problems afterwards, because if they get the wrong message, or they don't understand what's really going on, and you don't feel like having that conversation, it's the film's not gonna be enough.
We got to tell people it's a message movie more than a feel good movie.
Yeah, you have to engage. If you're engaged, this is a 7. Could be better, but it's a 7. If you're not going to engage, then you're right. I think this movie fails. Like, and I think maybe it's closer to your score anyway, because when you're a parent and you have to engage with your kid, as I was about to say that. But when you have to go out there and do the legwork of the film for your kid after the film is over, I think that's bad. Like, there's plenty of films out there, I think, that, like, for instance, A Wrinkle in Time, I think, is one of those films that, yeah, you know, have that conversation with your kid afterward, because, yeah, you should, and that's important. That's a live action film. Animated films, I don't think parents are expecting to have to do that.
Well, I think parents are fucking lazy. Well, and I say that with all due respect to parents being tired as hell and having the whole life that they have to live, and then they turn around and have to add certain things into their entertainment. But I think that a lot of parents, especially these whole, like, parenting with kindness bullshit parents, they think that there's things where they're supposed to have permission to check out. And I find that to be horribly never true. And, you know, my mom knew what I was reading. She knew what I was watching. She knew what I was allowed to do when I went to other people's houses. She made sure that I knew what I was allowed to do at other people's houses. And that included what kind of movies I was able to just say, yeah, I want to go to the movies without needing to check with my mom. And I really feel like that is just an overwhelming thing when people come to entertainment. They want someone else to be doing the holding of their kid's hand. Ugly Dolls is not holding your child's hand. If your child is not mature and doesn't catch nuanced things, because there are plenty of kids who are smarter and more savvy than the adults give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be just fine in Ugly Dolls, but there are just as many kids that this is going to give them mixed messages if they don't have someone to talk to about it. Or if they missed something somewhere in the movie, they're going to walk away with this movie going, so mommy, if you're not perfect, then you get rejected and you have to go live off on a cliff by yourself.
Yeah. This film is dangerous. This film can be definitely dangerous. And I also feel like the end is both good, but also I feel like it might not have done enough to, like you said, to kind of tie that off for people.
No, it doesn't. The end goes for that feel good, right. Like resolution of Moxie's greatest wish and her dream. And this isn't a dream fulfillment movie,
right?
In the substance. So for them to knee jerk back to that as just what they do at the end was lazy.
It was,
And it's a disservice to everything else that it came before it.
Yeah. Okay. I was having that feeling. I was like, okay, you guys did a good job, but I feel like the end, you guys kind of ran out of steam. And
yeah, they did too much in the middle and they didn't leave enough for the end.
Yeah, so. Well,
I feel terrible talking this harsh about a kid's movie.
I do too, but and especially this film, because, like, again, I can't stress enough, like, when you get the whole of the story they're trying to tell, it's a good story and it's a necessary story,
mm-hmm.
and a conversation starter that should be had.
Message game is strong.
Right. I just wish they had pieced together better, and I wish they had done a better job of just not, like, don't sneak a musical on me, guys. There's nothing I hate worse than me.
That might be my fault. I didn't even think to mention to you that this was more than just periodic singing.
It's not your fault. it's the trailers for it. This is another film, just like we talked about this with Long Shot, where I feel like the marketing campaign, because I saw this for both Long Shot and this, the marketing campaign is, all right, we know you're not going to see this film because Endgame's coming out, so we're going to try to play on the fact that, oh, yeah, Endgame. Like they're the Ugly Dolls, like TV spot, something that literally goes like, yeah, heroes. It uses like the opening of Endgame, goes like, heroes are made or something like that. And just some, I'm like, why are you guys trying to piggyback off of Endgame? That's not going to work. Like, it's not going to work. Like, I get what you're trying to do, and maybe for any other film that could work, like the promotion for the new Chucky, the Child's Play film with Toy Story. That worked, right?
That's traumatizing as hell.
Yeah, it's traumatizing as hell, but it makes sense and it fits in there. You can't, like, in the week before the biggest movie of all time comes out, try to play on that by basically going, please, almost doing the Jeb Bush, please clap. That's what this is. I'm like,
yeah.
That's just, have some self-respect. Go out like a champ and take your lump that's coming this weekend like a champ. Don't go out like a sucker. Don't do that shit.
Well, see, the thing that got me about this is I don't have a problem with, like, if you want to piggyback on another movie, you just be prepared for people to say, well, that was a trash ass thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to take your chances, I mean, shoot your shot, just be ready. But I really think that when you're talking about a movie like this, there was no other way that they could have. I agree with you. I think this is a fall movie. Back to school vibey, even. But I don't know. I don't know, Chris. When could they have done this movie?
Like I said, I honestly think you do this movie in the fall. I think you do this movie in the fall. Honestly, you do this movie around Christmas. Because in a
way, maybe not Christmas. The latest.
Maybe, when I say Christmas, I mean around that. I mean from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't allow people to blend those two things together.
They've already done that. They've already started doing that. So I just
You're right.
I've just.
How dare you?
I know.
I don't live in a multiverse where you get to pretend Thanksgiving doesn't happen.
I know. We might as well, though. I mean,
you're not going to reduce the opportunities in which I get ham.
Okay, valid. Valid.
And greens.
Valid, 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 valid.
You will not decrease the days in which people owe me good food.
All right.
But I really felt like, you know, fall, back to school vibey, October, this might have worked a little better. You get you're guaranteed to get more of an older audience. And like, I don't care what anybody says. These little kids would say, oh, but it's plushie dolls. Look, that's a little kid thing. I'm like, whatever. I still collect plushies. Fuck y'all. But not these plushies, but still, I have stuffed animals. I really think that this is the thing that makes it to where I can't move off of five is they don't know who their audience is. And because they didn't know who their audience is, some of their animation choices were not the best.
And that's valid. That is very, very valid. All right, folks. There you guys have it. That is our review for Ugly Dolls. They found the rest of the reviews, movie trailer reviews, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music. Also, I think everyone who came out to the Avengers screeners and live shows we did. For the DC show, we did record it. And you can go to the Tears of Orphans.com, Wars My 40 Acres. And you have on their main feed, they have the first show we did. The second show, because the first hit is free, will be on premium. Brandon is editing it now. And if you sign up for premium on the Where's My 40 Acre site, you'll be able to get that one as well. So,
and I'm trying to convince the guys to watch more of the strange ass movies that I get links for. So there'll probably be more odd premium content coming. I'm gonna make y'all watch the movies. I'm not watching the shit alone. It's not happening.
I'm just shaking. So, again, folks,
it's happening, Chris. It's happening.
I know it is. Thank you guys very much for listening. And until next time, we're out of here. Peace.